The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin, powered by Texas Kidney Foundation, where we are unapologetically patient first and building coalitions with others to address kidney health for all. And we're back with another episode of On the Record with Tiffany and Kevin. And I am free today, you all. I don't have Kevin. Cha-ching. Asking questions and shutting me down. So y'all gonna get full steam Tiffany this whole time. So I don't know if you ready for this, Justin. Today I have my favorite co-host, don't tell Kevin, Reginald Ballard.
What's up?
And I have a special guest, Justin. And Justin, tell our audience a little bit about you and why you're here today.
I am here today because I think we are talking about dialysis and the mistreatment of our people and how we're targeted to be on dialysis, to wait longer for transplants, and to make money for a large industry. Justin, I think that's why I'm here.
That's a good
very reason. Interesting right there.
Yep. That's a, you know, today is
it's so rare to find a doctor such as me, what I had, the doctor that I had when I was on dialysis, my doctor, man, he advocated for my kidney, and he didn't, and even, it was his own private dialysis clinic that he didn't want me there. He said, hey, man, we got to get you off. We got to get you out of here. You know, and I was out within, 8 months, I think. I was out. I was in and out. You know, so because he was like, hey, you know, he the one that hooked me on with the paired donor. You know, my wife was my donor, even though, you know, we was a match, but her kidney was smaller than me. And we got another one from somewhere else. But he's like, yeah, you don't have to have a person that match you. You just have to have somebody willing to give. And he was like, you know, because we had a setback. I had to get my heart. There was some situations with my heart. So he said that I wouldn't have been in there 8 months if it wasn't for my heart. You know, when I had to do my heart. So he's like, man, we got to wait another 6 months. He said, look, I want to get you out of here. I don't want you standing here long. And like I said, that's a rare occasion because, like you said, Justin, it's like, it seemed like it's built for us. It's like built for us to keep us like in this situation and to always steer us toward that situation instead of trying to head it off with the new medications they have to prolong, you know, your kidney situation and all that. We don't have that information, and they don't provide that information to us.
And that is why I invited Justin on today, because that literally the way that I heard about Justin was he is in a book called How to Make a Killing. And when I read the book for the first time, I was just floored at the depth of what I was listening to. But Justin's story, I couldn't sleep afterwards hearing it. And I actually contacted the writer of the book, Tom Miller, because of Justin. Because I had to know if he had gotten a transplant, because everything he had been through was so, it was just so harrowing. And I just felt like this could be my son. Mm-hmm. And if somebody did this to my son, I'd burn him down for it. Justin, tell our audience what I'm talking about. Can you tell them, first starting with how you lost your kidneys, and then you know, a little bit about what you did prior to this in terms of your health, you know, because you were a very healthy person.
Well, let me start it. Add with what Reginald was talking about going to a private clinic. Let's start there. Beyond him having a private clinic, this is a duopoly. So you either go to Fresenius or you go to DaVita. If you get if you can't go to either, your other option is going to the hospital. Now, they only allow you to go to the hospital when you're at critical condition. So let's say we do dialysis every other day. If you go to the hospital, you will probably have 5 days in between. So when you go at critical condition, you have problems with your arteries, you have problems with your heart. And after so long, it builds up and you'll either have cardiac arrest or a heart attack, which I had cardiac arrest last year, died for 3 days. So you get stuck in these positions. And from what I learned, it is it's a method. What they would do is they would target you. They would say you're insubordinate, or for me, they actually slandered my name and, you know, lied and everything else. Yeah. And
this was all because what was the catalyst that started all of that?
What started this is because I didn't act like the black man that they thought I should. I chose to write Senator Isaacson before he died. I got a petition started with my advocate. And after that, we found out that there's no oversight. So all the information that I sent and the reason I was sending this information is because they didn't have enough workers. And I'm wondering, with taxpayers' money, why is there not enough dialysis patients? And they were sending us to the hospital. And so I didn't think that was right.
You were simply asking questions.
And this was the biggest question. There was nowhere in the facility that I found a number to do any of this or to do this. So what I did was I took pictures of the outside of the facility to show, I think it was guest services I may have called, that there was nowhere for us to call, that this was going on. We were being turned around, sent to the hospital. The next morning, I walked into the...
Y'all weren't being dialyzed, and you were being sent to the hospital to be dialyzed.
Sent to a hospital.
And there was nobody you could call at the company.
Workers.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So you asked the question about that. You said, hey, why is this happening? And that started what you're about to tell us about.
That started the ball rolling down the hill.
So what happened next? After you asked the question and I got off the phone and I
thought something would be done. Mm-hmm. And the next morning I get there and the regional director is there and the facility administrator. And they're there with the papers I signed when I started dialysis saying, oh, you want to take pictures of the facility and this and that. And they had already said, well, you're terminated for this. And I do contracts quite often. I think you asked me what I do. Mm-hmm. I work for the film industry. I've done things for Stranger Things, Coming to America 2. I did Kevin Hart's first 4 or 5 movies.
So you're a stunt man.
I'm a stunt man, but I sign contracts on the daily. So I read everything. So I asked them the next thing is, let me add this to you. I was already on the dialysis chair. What they do is it's a scare tactic and a building tactic. They'll get multiple people around you when you're there by yourself. You're sitting on a chair, and I had to make that known. That when my blood is being sucked out, I don't want to talk about harsh things, because that makes the algorithm of your heart go up. That makes your blood pressure go up. And needless to say,
that has happened. Really, you shouldn't even have to explain all of that. It should just be a simple matter of my personal space is my personal space, and I'm going
no,
through
it,
a
it, it's never
right
your
now.
Personal space, and that's what I found out. A little later, I told them that I read the letter and it said that you were not supposed to take pictures of any patients or any staff members. And I told right. them very clearly I didn't take pictures of anybody. I took pictures of the outside of the front of your building, because you have no person to call when you're not open in a facility when we're supposed to be in. They looked around, they tried to figure every other way, but they couldn't at that point. But that began the retaliation. It pissed them off that I did not act or act out. I talked very normally. I actually got very quiet and talked very slowly, because as a Black man, I know the procedure, right? for real.
Yeah.
In this particular facility, this facility administrator, she was livid at the fact that I did that.
But she wanted you to get out there and clown.
So later I found, because they would do from that moment, they did everything they could to get me to react. They would take away my medicines. I am low in iron and I have to have high protein, so I would get a protein bar. They wouldn't give me protein bar, but they would walk around with all of this candy. They would walk around with candy buckets. Kid you not. They would walk around with candy buckets. And I said, instead of giving me candy, why don't you give me a protein bar? Mind you, I have worked on my health. I have 3 degrees in yoga. I have 15 years of martial arts, black belt in jiu-jitsu. I work on my anatomy and I work on my health. So me being in this situation, it is a so happening, which that's later on in the story. I don't even think I was supposed to be on dialysis. But let's go forward. So they messed with me. They tried to terminate me over and over. At this point, I had an advocate. Her name was Arlene Mullins. Mm-hmm. And she was notorious. She would say, "Oh, Justin, what are they doing now?" And she would be up here. And they saw her a few times before they made their big move. The first time they saw her, she came up here with another person, and she talked to them. She talked to my doctor. She said what they weren't doing right and that they were illegally terminating me and they had to let me back in.
Let me ask you a question. What you mean by terminating? Like take you off of the dialysis?
No, because again, it's a duopoly, so it's only two places. What they would do is they would say that you're no longer allowed to go to the Vita. You can't go to the Fresenius. And for me, because
wow.
they
so
had
when
tried
they
to
terminate someone, what typically happens, at least what we've seen over and over again, is now in Texas, there are other dialysis companies. So mm-hmm. You don't have just DaVita and Fresenius, but in many places, they have 85% of market share.
Well, let's get to that, too. There was a place that I was recommended to go, and because they had put so much in my files, I could not go to a private center. See, at a point when I had so much proven, they were ready to get rid of me, but they had already lied and put so much into my file that I wasn't able to go anywhere. And let's go a little bit further.
So how do you know that? You were labeled as non-compliant and then you weren't able to go. Did you try to go somewhere else and they told you, hey, we're not taking you.
Yeah, I tried to go somewhere else. I think it may have been around Christmas or something like that. Mm-hmm. I remember them. I had done so much because also in this clinic, they were trying to get rid of all the black workers. Now, this was something that I noticed because it was all black patients there and the black workers. And I started talking to them as I started the petition for the patients. You know, some of the workers, they were there to help. And slowly but surely, the facility administrator, she got rid of all the black workers. And it was just white workers and all black patients in her clinic. And I know that sounds very crazy, but it's very, very true.
Where do
Later
you live?
Later on, she had gotten all them to be white
again?
Workers. Huh?
Tell us where you live again. The city.
I'm in Atlanta, Georgia. Which
so
is
all
which is
white workers in Atlanta, Georgia.
Which is a predominantly black facility. But I did go to a nice facility. I went in a predominantly white area, but it was definitely a lot of black workers. Let me lead you. Once she got to all white workers, she had this lady, Tracy. Now, this was another thing that they did at this particular facility. I don't know if I should name the facility, but maybe so. No? Okay.
No, you don't have to name the facility.
Yeah. Well, what did they do? Okay, after they got rid of all the black workers, they had this this one worker. They were routinely lose my blood. Right? They would.
What does that mean?
Yeah, we would take blood samples. I'm anemic, mm-hmm. and I didn't want them taking blood samples as much as they did already. But for me to take it on Monday or and they coming back to me on Wednesday, oh, well, we don't know where to sample and we want to take it. It was a no for me. It was a no. It was a no because I don't have enough blood. I've already had several blood transfusions. And for you to lose my blood, which I found out personally that I have blood that's 1 in 3%. So I really want to know where all my blood is going. AB positive, which in the movie industry, I've just noticed, you know, there's a lot going on with blood and there's a lot of questions that's not answered. And for me to be in Hollywood and all the stuff you hear about blood, seriously. And then to go over into the medical industry and me just sitting here and wondering. And again, my blood is 3%. I'm the universal plasma donor and a universal reciprocant, meaning my blood transmutates. And when you read things like Gila, Henrietta Lacks, how they mm-hmm. took her, how they mm-hmm. took her cells and they're using them to this day. Or when I work on movies like Lovecraft Country and I was in the same place that they shot the Tulsa, Oklahoma, and they also shot Hunters, which they talk about Operation Paperclip, which was when our government brought over the Nazis. And in that same movie, they talked about the Nazis saying, oh, well, we'll move down to the South. Well, I grew up in Mississippi. So that made me look at when Tuskegee experiment was, which was shortly after. And then if you think that they worked on us for then another 50 years because they went from the Jews to then to the blacks. And then knowing the melanated traits, and that's what the Nazis were studying, right? So the ways to target, why is our food so poisoned? Why am I in a better position than most dialysis patients? I just lost a friend a day or so ago that was with me for Juneteenth of last year. I went up mm-hmm. to Washington. Mm-hmm. I had stayed silent for a while because honestly, I just wanted to... finish my career. I was working for, you know, leading comedian, actor. I was still able to do everything. Even in my worst position, I was probably stronger and a better athlete than people in their best. Mm-hmm. So people, even to this day, they don't know that I'm going through this. I became vocal because last year I died. I died for 3 days and it became a reality that my silence was helping them. it became a reality that if I never said anything, I look at the people that have died in this battle with me. I began to talk about my friend, Reverend Turner, Reverend Stephen Turner, that died 2 or 3 days ago. And he was up there with me in Juneteenth in Washington speaking about it. And he was just up there. We went again the last day in February for Black History Month to speak, because they went up there in 86. They went up there in 2001, and we still have no reform. We still have no oversight. In 2017, they put the wrong tube in my arm. Get that.
How long have you been on dialysis? How long have you been on dialysis?
It's been about seven or eight years.
You've been on dialysis for 8 years. I hope you don't mind me asking you this. How old are you right now?
And how old I'm 39.
So you're 39. Hey, typically,
does kidney disease run in your family?
Yeah.
No, kidney disease does not run in my family. And I think I just showed you guys a video. I want you to talk to some of the people, because, see, I am just a person that's gone through this. There are whistleblowers that's now working on this that was up there in Washington. There's Dr. Rhonda Hamilton with Healthy DC and Me. That's Tom Mueller out of Italy that's writing this book to expose it, because honestly, our people aren't speaking up about it. What I came to find out in Washington is they don't do nothing, because enough Black people aren't saying anything, but it's directly affecting us. And our notion when we went up to Washington was to have 1,000 people so that they can see. I think we had about 100 outside, 20 that went into the Capitol building. And tried to meet with some of the legislators to have them help. We went and saw Maxine Waters. We saw Nancy Pelosi. We went around and that did feel good. And honestly, I'm glad Steve got to see that before he passed, because it's been hopeless.
Well, I want to tell you something. It's not hopeless. It's not. And 100 people, it doesn't, to make change, it does not require as many people as you think. Because in 2020, we passed legislation covering immunosuppressants for the life of the transplant. That should have been done 40 years ago. But it should have been done the day they did the first transplant. It should have been done. It should have been done before that. But for some reason, it was not. And when we came into it and started looking at it, we just had this powerful coalition of people called Honor the Gift. And some amazing advocates that were all of the same mindset, which was, we are not going to lay down on this. We're going to get this done. And we did. And we did. And it wasn't 100. It was 13 of us. 13 organizations.
And I just pushed forward. I came to terms that it only needs to be one person.
Yeah.
What I was doing was
I was trying to find
people. And I realized I had to do it. I had survived. Yeah. And this is another thing. Okay, so... I stopped the story because they end up, the facility administrator end up telling one of her workers, if there's any problems, call the police on me. So what happened was they lost my blood. I walk in. I normally go at like 5:30, 6 in the morning, because I like to go early so I can still continue my day, because I'm still a young man and I want to work.
Yeah.
Anyway, I get there. She's telling me that she needs to take my blood. She had just taken my blood 2 days ago. I said, no, you're not taking my blood. So I continue to walk, go to my chair, I sit down, and she said it again while I was sitting there, you're not taking it. I sit down, and she is putting me on the machine, in which they have to stick you in. At that moment, you're usually doing something. You just stick your arm over there. You they you see them wipe you off, clean you, and then they start to cannulate you. So she cannulated me, and which is sticking the needles in my arm. And I look over, I think we're done. And then I see her slide the tubes to take my blood. And I said, no, I told you, you cannot take my blood. She said, we need your blood. We're going to take it. We didn't get our labs. We're going to take the blood. I said, no, you're not taking it. She said, you're going to sit right here and I'm going to get this blood or we're going to have a problem. I said, well, guess we're going to have a problem. So she gets up and she said, oh, good. I'm glad we do. So apparently she already knew what to do. She gets up and she walks over. I'm calling the police. You're going to get your butt out of here. I said, no, I'm not. I just got here and I haven't had dialysis. So I don't care what you had. You're getting out. So I then proceeded to get on the phone with Arlene because this is early in the morning. I don't know what to do. And Arlene gets on the phone. And she said, Justin, what's going on? And I said, Arlene, they're asking me for my blood. I told them they wouldn't, and then they take it. She said, that's assault. I said, no, she didn't put her hands on me. She said, if they're stealing your blood, they're taking something from you, it's assault. And she said, stay on the phone with me until the police get there.
Real change in healthcare starts with you. It's not just about community engagement. It's about stepping into the political arena for the health of our people. We're calling on you to join our fight against rare and chronic kidney disease. With your involvement, we can reshape policy and transform local health. This is your moment to make a difference, to be a part of something bigger than you that values action over words. Join us and be the change you wish to see in our local community.
The police got there. It wasn't very long, actually. They got there and they were like, Mr. Evans, what's going on? I said, at this point, I'm terrified. Because, again, now beyond them being the dialysis nurses and, you know, working there, it's now police standing over me. And so my heart is racing. So I know the drill. I could sit up there and have a stroke being scared like that and y'all sucking my blood out. I told them to take my blood pressure. Actually, Arlene was on the phone. She said, Justin, how do you feel? She said, have them take your blood pressure before you go because you don't need to go anywhere and then have a problem. They take my blood pressure. My blood pressure was 200 over 160 something. Could have easily went into a stroke, right? They said the police was like, well, he looked back over and started whispering. He's like, well, ma'am, we can't take him out of here like this. She said, well, they have to go. We could take you to the, and they come back over and they tell me, well, we could take you to the ER. I was like, well, I need to go to the ER because first of all, I haven't had dialysis and I'm leaving with something that is not me. And Arlene said, Justin, just stay quiet. Leave. So they then call the ER. They wheel me out in a gurney. And by that time, the facility administrator was not there. She then made it back by the time I was being wheeled out and she gave me a termination letter in the gurney saying you're out and you should never, ever, ever come back here again. And if you come back here again, you will be arrested. And I'm telling you in front of a police. And the police looked at me and he said, sir, you would be real dumb to come back here. And she's now stated this in front of a policeman. And I said, well, my car is still here. Y'all taking me to the, how am I not going? He said, you can come back and get your car, but don't come back here. I get to the, Arlene's still on the phone with me. They tried to make me hang up the phone in the thing, but I got her back on the phone when I was being wheeled out. She got off the phone with me as they were wheeling me out. Arlene works. I mean, she works so fast. She had reached out to CMS. She had wrote a letter to Washington. She had done all of this by the time I got to the hospital. So they told me I could not come back. They had to bring me back to that same facility because there's a due process.
So you still have to go back to the same facility.
I had to go to the same facility because there's a due process in termination. you can't just turn and you have to give somebody, I think it's like a house. You got to give them a 30-day notice or a notice before there is a termination, especially when they're doing something for their livelihood. This is our lifeline.
Yeah.
So
you can't live without dialysis.
You can't live without dialysis. So when they sent me to the hospital at that point, because there's a place called Dialysis Advocates, dialysisadvocates.com. You should check it out with Arlene Mullins. And I went on, and as they did the first few terminations, she was educating me on the things that they do, what goes on. So I had seen on dialysisadvocates.com, there were hundreds of people that had the same thing. They would say that they've done something and they would terminate them. Well, when I get to the hospital, they gave me the police report, and I'm sitting in my bed, and Arlene's asking me, because I was like, Arlene, they wrote me a criminal report. And she was like, read the report to me. And so I start to read the report to her, and I'm reading it just, you know, normal, blah, blah, blah. And I'm reading, and it's like, he said that he would bring a gun to the facility and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just reading, and I'm like, hold on. They said I will bring a gun to the facility. And she said, aha.
Wow.
That's what they do. I've already showed you plenty of times. They say you bring a knife. They say you're insubordinate. They say you're threatening to, and they find a way to terminate you. By then, she got me back in, because I never said, I don't even own a gun. At that point, I didn't. At this very point, I'm scared for my life. But at that very point, I didn't even own a gun. And so she got me back in, and they had to bring me back in because, first of all, they illegally terminated me. They didn't do the due process. They didn't speak with my doctor or anything. They got rid of me and they called the police. I asked Arlene, I said, Arlene, but if it was assault, why was I taken out? She told me right then and there. She said, DaVita is a billion-dollar business. And sometimes the doctors will rub hands with the sheriff. Sometimes they will have people under their belt. So there's nothing you can do. So that's where I was. I had to follow the process, go out. But when I came back, the same white nurse that had written me up, it shocked the out of her that I was back, because they got to point the finger at somebody. And they weren't able to point the finger at me. And this nurse, because I want whoever slandered my name. I work for kids. My mom has an early childhood development degree, which I may take over her daycare at some point in my life or run it. Or I can't have any felonies, any misdemeanors, any of that. And then again, I work for the Arts Exchange. I work for kids pretty much my entire life.
With all of this.
Let me ask you this. Let me put this in there. You know, when I was getting dialysis, when they wanted to take my blood, they didn't never have to stick me. They just always took it from the dialysis blood. You know what I mean?
That's what I'm saying. They would stick you, cannulate you to go on dialysis, but they put the little tube on, and then they would take the blood from your dialysis tube. Yeah. They do it. They still do it the same way. It's Yeah, they have to skip you for dialysis.
I got you. So
how did you get to the point?
Are they telling you that you need a match, or could you just get a donor? Somebody that did they ever give that option?
Did they talk to you about donation?
No, they talked to me about that, and my brother has said it. But by the time that I made them mad, they put so much in my files that I wasn't eligible for a transplant. I wasn't eligible.
What?
I wasn't. Yes, they were trying to make my life miserable. Yes.
And, but see, here's
yes.
But here's the thing: they can tell you. I don't care who tells you that you're not eligible. They can't tell you that. Nobody in a dialysis clinic. Anywhere, and we've heard the same thing from tons of other people, but I'm here to tell you that the dialysis clinics, they are there to provide high quality dialysis. They cannot tell you anything about transplantation.
I hear what you're saying, but that's what happened to me. And beyond this lady, beyond this lady doing this and writing this criminal report on me, lying for her administrator, she came back to me and she wanted to talk to me because she knew her ass was on the line. Point blank, period. When she wanted to talk to me, I said, I will never talk to you in this facility because you saw what just happened to me. I went with her to Jason's Deli, and in the state of Georgia, it's only one person that has to consent to a recording. I recorded her for 2 hours. I recorded her saying that they changed my medicine. I recorded her saying that they would have hour meetings on what to do with Justin. I recorded her saying on how they were harassing these people. I even recorded her on what I thought they were getting rid of all the black people. She confirmed it on this recording, which got me to get NAACP, which got me to get whistleblowers, which got people to listen to me. I'm making this up. And they were trying to kill me. They were trying to kill me. Beyond that happening, I got back in and they knew they were in trouble. Then they started to try to get me out of there. But guess what? They couldn't. I had to go back to the same facility because they had so much in my file because they were trying to skew me. They was trying to get rid of me. But they couldn't. And now that I was back, they was ready to get rid of me. Oh, let's get them out of here. But they couldn't because they had done so much to me. And so I mean,
common sense, man, common sense would make one believe that who would be in a dialysis facility trying to sabotage their own health?
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm asking questions to you, man. If you can't answer these questions, then provide somebody that can.
And I will tell you,
instead of getting upset, it's like nobody's going to try to sabotage their own health in the clinic, sitting in there watching your blood go in and out your body, and you gonna sit up there and try to sabotage.
Nobody's gonna sabotage their own life, but
that's
we're
right.
putting
exactly.
that when we're sitting behind a wheel. We're
Thank
putting
you.
That when somebody's standing over you, and that same thing was happening. So when I say you know the procedure, you know the procedure. What I learned when I went to Washington is things are systematic. They have systems that they place us in, and we're stuck in them. And once you're in them, it's very hard to get out. So when you're there, you act accordingly. But me personally, I'm the person that chose to jump off buildings. I'm the person that chose to get hit by cars. I wanted my life, but when I see I ain't gonna have no life at all, you might as well go out with a bang. So they picked the wrong person to do this with. And
that's why you spoke. Because, after all of that, when you had the death for 3 days, when you were so ill with a cardiac experience, tell us about
that
just made you go,
okay,
you know what,
me,
this is it.
That. Let me go into that. I lost my Social Security. I was without Social Security. First of all, they said they overpaid me $43,000. They did that 3 years ago. Now, I know I had been working for Kevin Hart. I was making good money. And in my mind, I could still move. I could still do stuff. So I don't want to sit in the dialysis bed and give up my life when I know I'm special. I can still do stuff better than most.
Yeah.
So I continue to
so
work.
So you were still working.
I was working. They said $43,000. Okay. I made $91,000 when I bought my house. I said, okay, well, I'll sacrifice that. I want a house. I don't want to live in no system. Stop it. I don't want to live in no system. Sorry, my dogs are with me. I don't want to live in a system. So I continue to work. They stopped my Social Security and disability. Three years later.
I said they
sent me a $43,000 payment. I got $23,000 a year. So for the second year, my money should have been gone, but I still didn't get any money. I worked to try to get back on Social Security. Now I go to dialysis every day. no disability, no help. And when we say dialysis, we're talking 4 hours out of the day, 2 hours to recover, and then you still have to live a day-to-day life and pay for your own expenses.
Wow.
That's why that disability counts. That's why that disability matters. Anyway.
But how can they take your disability away?
That's let's go there.
I don't understand.
I found out later that my disability and they made all excuses. My disability was done due to overpayment. Well, I was down visiting my dad. He was going through pancreatic cancer, and I'm still trying to work on this, but I'm trying my best to get down there because I have no money, and my dad may be on his, the bed. Yeah. So, I get down there, and I'm calling Social Security Administration. I'm in Mississippi, and they tell me they was like, well, on the phone, I see an overpayment due to drug addiction and alcoholism. I say, what? He said, yeah, I've never seen that before. I see drug addiction. I said, I've never heard that a day in my life. I know they had overpayment, but I never heard that. So that caused me to ask questions because they've been treating me funny anyway. So I get, back to Georgia, back at home, from visiting my father, and that's the first place I want to go is to the Social Security Administration. I have to get this in writing. Mm-hmm. So I go in there and I talk to them, and they're going around the bus and this and this and this and never telling me this. And I said, well, sir, when I called, and of course they tell you, you can't have a phone in Social Security Administration. Well, I have my phone and it's sitting on the counter and I'm not looking like I'm recording, but I'm recording everything that happened.
Hmm.
So then he says, yeah, because he kept beating around the bush. And I said, well, they told me when I called earlier, it was drug addiction, alcoholism. He said, yeah, I see that, but I don't want to say it. All is being recorded. I see that, but I didn't want to say that. I've never seen that before. I said, sir.
So he's the second person telling you, I've never seen that before. The second one telling you that
before. And then I told him, I said, sir, I've never taken a drug test. I've never done drugs. In fact, I don't have kidneys to do drugs. Where is this coming from? And I said, so I need this in writing. He's like, well, let me go and talk to us. I said, no, I need it in writing. So he go and get me it in writing. So I have it in writing, the drug addiction and alcoholism. I then talked to the supervisor. She said, I've never heard this a day in my life. I've never saw this. We got to ask questions. I don't know, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I leave, and then I come back. Because I kept pushing the issue because I wanted all of this. I leave and I come back. She don't want to mention it at all. At that very point, I had spent about $400 going back and forth to Social Security Administration to get my dialysis. Get my Social Security benefits back, talk to someone, and then at the last thing. So at this point, I told you $23,000 a year. They owe me $70,000. They owe me about $70,000 for the 3 years that I've been doing dialysis that I wouldn't get paid for a lie that they told.
So they then had to go back and pay you.
Huh?
They have to go back and pay you because
and they started back paying me. This month they gave me $10,000, but see, I had to go over and beyond. I had to not act like a black fool and get in touch with my congressman. I had to go to Washington because they know that this man is going to do it. And I think I've made these millionaires enough money that if they knew I was going through something, it's going to cause a lot of ruckus because they're messing with other people's money. So that's what I started to do is understand to take myself out of it and make them have a bigger fight with other people. And when I did that, then I became safe. I became safe because there was a spectrum being over me. I'll give you another example. See, I've been through war with these people. When they tried to terminate me a couple of years ago, It was at a point where I was like, oh, okay, I done scammed through so many times. I'm at death's door. So they got me out of the facility, and they told me I couldn't come back. I was crying on the phone with Arlene, and she said, we're going to do something about it.
That's messing with somebody's life, man.
If you're ignorant, then you don't know and you don't care. But at that very point, I had seen dialysis advocates. I saw the people that died. I saw the people that they terminated and they went to the hospital and lo and behold, they had a heart attack and they're dead a few days later. You see what I'm saying? So for me, it was terrifying. Wow. It was terrifying. And Arlene, she got on the phone with CMS. She reported it. She then called the health department. The health department said they would do an investigation, and she told them, respectfully, I need you to do it right away. This person is out, and they don't have dialysis, and we're scared for his life. And this, the health department then did an investigation the next day. They found the state of Georgia to be 45% negligent in their dialysis. They found two people to have died within their care. And beyond that, they wrote an article for Atlanta Journal-Constitution, so you can look it up, in 2021 on dialysis and how they're mistreated in Georgia. All of this was because of me. They knew they had illegally terminated me. So they had to stick me in any facility that they could. Because now they were being investigated by the health department. And where's Mr. Evans? Uh-huh. So then they stuck me in the facility that I'm in now. And these nurses actually been there. They're kind of like what Mr. Reginald's talking about. They've been my saviors. First, they were like, how is this going on? How are you with dialysis? And I said I didn't have Social Security disability. I didn't have Medicare or Medicaid either. I didn't have insurance. Yeah, I had a friend that was working. He's been a pharmacist for about 26, 27 years. And he worked and I helped him with a kid group that he donated for and did stuff. So he knew me. And he knew the type of person I was. He made sure I got my medicines. I haven't gotten medicine from them for 3 years. If it wasn't for him, I would be dead. God has sent people right and left to save me. And that's when I realized I have to speak up. I don't get an option. Then my option is life. And I have life because he saved me. So I have to speak up. That's what that turned into. And even more so with my friend dying. A few days ago, I have 2.5 hours when we were in Washington. We stayed in the same room together because neither of us had the money to get up there. I didn't have the money because I didn't have my disability and I haven't had my payments. In fact, I had somebody pay for my flight. You know them, Mr. Mueller.
Wrote the book.
Right and left.
Tom has been he what Tom did in this book and what he exposed, it's really, really phenomenal, because as somebody who has for 7 years taken those calls, helped people navigate through and just try to get them to the other side of this, and this is the stuff that you don't talk about and can't talk about because their lives are on the line.
It is.
Their lives are on the line. I was so
And you have
happy
to remember,
to
we're getting stuck
something.
By needles. We're getting stuck by needles every day. Mm-hmm. It's nothing for them to say it's an accident. It's nothing.
I've talked to so many people where they have done things like, when they're sticking the needle in, just digging. I mean,
we're trying to get Mr. Turner's records because he just had an issue with him asking for them to take two liters off, and they go and they take 3.4. And as you know, Mr. Reginald, if you take too much, you're weary. Actually, I took a little bit too much today, but I wasn't feeling well last night, so I. you know, I lost a lot of my fluid. I was throwing up. But you should always, they weigh you for a reason, because if you take too much fluid and are cycling your blood off, you can get lightheaded. You can have all these things happen. And Mr.
But that's
Turner
because
was talking
it's so taxing on your
about,
body to begin with. So there's so many ways. Taxing.
And not only this, okay, let's go there too. And that's why I say you should talk to Dr. Hamilton, because so you can get the numbers. But it's very taxing on your body, but they have ways that they have a one person fits all type thing where they want the same amount of hours and they stick you with the largest needle. I have advocated for myself so much that they don't stick me with that 15 gauge needle. I go 16 gauge. For a long time, I went 17 gauge. The smaller, the higher the number. And I'm 16 gauge, but they want the 15 gauge, and we can do it in 3 hours if you just do that. Well, dialysis is better if it's a slow process.
Yes, it is.
For a long time when I was doing home hemodialysis, I was going for 7 hours and I had no problem. And they said, well, most people don't want to ask. I said, well, did you ask most people? Because I care about my body and I would rather go for a longer time. So I did it at home. And I did it with the time that I can. But after they put the wrong tube in my arm, they put it on the outside of my arm. It made it very difficult for me to do it at home. And with COVID going on, if anything happened at your house, they were slow to come and check on you. They were slow. They wanted to know that you have COVID. They wanted to do all of this. You're dead by the time the ambulance came. And so I became a lot safer to go back into the facility. Thankfully, I was in a facility that cared, because they even told me, they said, Mr. Evans, you can't hardly stick yourself and you probably would. They cared about me. They said you probably would be safer here.
There's a lot more for us to discuss. You are your own best advocate. And the most important thing you can do is ask questions. Know this, you're not alone. You can call us, you can come, you can go to www.txkidney.org. You can email us at tkf@txkidney.org. You're not by yourself, but you've got to speak up. Imagine a world where every rare and chronic kidney disease patient has access to the best treatments available. It's not a dream. It's a possibility that we must fight for. Our mission goes beyond talk. It's about empowering patients and families with the knowledge and resources to demand better care. Let's break down the barriers in our healthcare system that keep life-saving treatments from those in need. Join our cause, be a voice for change, and help us turn this vision into reality.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.